News. The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Welcome to the February 6, 2014 edition of Left, Right, and You, listeners. I'm glad you could join. Well, when I say us today, it's our producer Dave and me. Alan could not make it today. Perhaps he'll be here after the primaries. It's hard to say. But welcome to Left, Right, and You. Today we've got a pretty full show. The first thing I want to mention is, Dave, I you know, you could already cast a ballot if you want to. The early absentee voting has begun. So you can go to the clerk's office down on Route 31 and 3rd Street in Geneva, go to Building B, and you can vote already. So that's well underway.
I could vote for Bruce Rutherford, couldn't I?
Yes, you could. And coming up sooner than you think, pretty much right around March 3rd, for those folks who reside in the grand metropolis of Elgin, or as they like to call themselves, the city in the suburbs, they paid $70,000 for that one. Starting about March 7th, you can do early voting at either the Gail Borden Library or the Elgin Township Building.
For the primary. Now, one of them being for the mayor, right? For the mayor and for trustees?
Not the mayor of Elgin. No, I don't believe the mayor's running this round in Elgin.
Okay.
No, this one, this is the kind of the big in the middle election.
Gotcha.
Where you, the general, where you've got, we've got county clerk, half the county board members. Of course, the governor's race is the biggest thing, and various and sundry other things.
But is Durbin up? Is that what the
yes?
Is it his also?
Yes, Jim Oberweis, and you know we had Doug Truax on the show
yes.
a couple weeks ago, so. Yes, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, the surest sign, I know it's very difficult to talk about spring on a day like today, but there not only is early voting a sure sign that spring is on its way, but now the political signs are popping up like flowers. When we talked last week, it was pretty much the two sheriff's candidates, Don Kramer and Kevin Williams, Republican sheriff's candidates. Now, you know, I've seen DJ Tegeler signs. DJ's running for judge, and if I had my way, you'd vote for him. And a number of other candidates are they're springing up. But of course, Dave, the story that is dominating the Illinois political news wave wire, whatever, is the ongoing and consistently developing fracas between GOP gubernatorial frontrunner Bruce Rauner and the guy I still think is going to win, pull it out in the primary, Dan Rutherford, state treasurer. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's fascinating because suddenly out of the blue, you've got a guy, Dan Rutherford, not much. He's been clean. It's very difficult to pick up any scandal, negative information, anything on Dan Rutherford. And, you know, as a columnist for 8 years, I was in touch with all that. Dan's been pretty clean. All of a sudden, months before the election, the primary, you know, yeah. is coming, a staffer of his ostensibly comes forward and through an attorney, whose name I won't mention because I don't want to provide any free advertising, demands $300,000 from the candidate in return for silence. That attorney is linked directly to Bruce Rauner. Also, some folks are postulating that the IPI, the Illinois Policy Institute, is behind this as well, because that attorney is linked to that group, and that group's one of their board members is Bruce Rauner's co-finance chair.
And I thought the I thought Rutherford was part of the Illinois
Policy Institute.
Policy Institute.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of the other. There's another
right.
institute, another, not the tax, tax. I forgot what it was. I thought it was associated with one of the, think tanks. So
well, it's possible. I'm not aware of it.
Okay.
But so Bruce has now had to suddenly defend himself, and And while I certainly think Rauner, and Rauner has consistently denied he's been behind these accusations, I don't know. That story isn't passing the laugh test. And the malfeasance, the misbehavior,
yeah,
has not actually come out yet. But word on the street is it's sexual harassment and a combination of sexual harassment and, quote, forcing, see, the listeners can see me use my fingers for quotes, quote, forcing this employee to do campaign work. And of course, what it's, the word on the street has always been the undertones about Dan Rutherford is that he's gay. And so my feeling is Bruce has done this solely, Bruce Rauner, to try to bring that knowledge out. Yeah. And I think it's going to turn around and bite Bruce Rauner in the butt.
Well, it also could be, being that, you know, as you were thinking, you know, Rutherford is the one of the top players for the primary.
He's in second place.
In second place. It could also be one of the other candidates out there. So
highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Sadly, you know, Kirk Dillard, friend of the show, we love Kirk, has no money.
Owes me money, by the way.
His lieutenant governor, their family had to kick in $250,000 just to keep his campaign going. There will be no TV buys from that group. Then you've got Bill Brady, who lost to Pat Quinn last time. I'm surprised that he consistently comes in near the top at polls. He has no money.
Yeah.
The only person that has the kind of money that can challenge Rauner in this final month, and we're rapidly approaching the final month, is Dan Rutherford. And so I believe Bruce went after him. And Dave, have you ever met Bruce Rauner?
I have not. Okay. I've seen him, and he looks kind of weird. But that's just from a personal standpoint. I mean, he looks like one of his eyes looks like it's kind of like he's a little cross-eyed.
Well, he's very tall, and he has laughed at my jokes, and that's always a huge plus. But Bruce is incredibly arrogant, and Bruce is one of those guys that thinks that the fact that – I mean, he made $59 million last year. He's one of those guys that thinks that kind of – capacity equals intelligence, and it doesn't always do it. So
well, you do have to be a millionaire to get into politics, though.
Right.
So,
well,
he is halfway there.
Well, yeah, he's halfway there, but people are starting to balk at buying elections. So we've got the fact that he's a bit arrogant. He is politically naive. Mm-hmm. With the stuff has come out about. I mean, his daughter could have gone to New Trier High School. I grew up in Evanston, our arch rivals New Trier, but you can't say a bad thing about New Trier. But Bruce had to get his daughter into the Chicago Charter, the Walter Payton Charter School, because it was slightly better. And you've got him flip-flopping on the minimum wage. And the truth is, outsiders, if they do manage to get elected, and it's very rare, I mean, the last one that actually managed to do it that I remember, you correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, but Jesse Ventura in Minnesota. And the funny thing is, he's also the exception to the rule. He did manage to govern. But most outsiders, Ross Perot, John Anderson, you go down the list, not only do they not get elected, if they do manage to get in there, they can't govern.
Right.
Because you can't diss both sides, come in, and then try to all suddenly work together. The politicians just hold their breath and hope you removed.
But now Jesse Ventura is as bitter as a snake. I mean, you know, he's very cynical about politics, the whole process.
Well, he is.
Since his experience as governor.
Yeah, and Jesse hosts. I don't know if he's still hosting the show on conspiracies. That always kind of has been his bent. But he is one of the
somebody might have taken him off. Somebody in a higher power, maybe.
But Jesse actually was respected. I'm kind of surprised he quit when he did.
Yeah.
Decided not to keep going. So the fact of the matter is, I do think Bruce Rauner is behind this. The timing's too suspicious. And the fact that this person asked for $300,000 and they would shut up, I think really says it all. Now, all that said, I don't think – I'm a little surprised that Dan hasn't deflected this better
How is Dan Rutherford deflected?
Well, he's – number one, well, certainly he's pointed out these trail of coincidences that probably are coincidences. That's good. But it's almost like it's beating him down a little bit. The news reports out of an appearance in Naperville between the two of them was he was much more sedate. Were I in his position – first of all, I would come out with what the allegations are supposed to be. I would not wait for the other side to do it. I would say, look, this is what they said I did. I didn't do it. It disarms them.
So he didn't deny it?
He did deny it, but he didn't say what he was denying.
Okay.
And that leaves a little too much to our imagination. And again, my theory is he probably doesn't want to say it because then it brings up the whole is Dan Rutherford gay argument. And of course, Dan Rutherford is a good conservative. He's gotten the job done. He's probably the only person that can beat Pat Quinn. So the timing is far too suspicious. I do believe, and Bruce is just naive enough. The guy that could pick any lawyer on the face of the earth picks one that did, you know, a bunch of work for him. That's a little hard to believe. So I do think that this is far too coincidental and that Bruce is behind it. But what Dan needs to do, what I'd really like to see Dan do, is have some energy in his defense. Use humor to deflect it. And if you've ever talked to Dan Rutherford in person, he has that capacity. He's a friendly guy. He's very engaging. He knows politics. But he seems to be taking this one laying down, which makes me a little nervous. And
he just doesn't want to give the credence to it. So better just leave the fire just where it is, and then he doesn't want to throw any more. Maybe he doesn't want to throw any oil on the fire.
Well, that may be true, but I think in this case, when you're down to a little more than a month before a primary, you've made some inroads. I think with the right, Dan's a great debater. With the right kind of campaign, you don't necessarily have to go negative, but you can make some gains. I think his best, he's focusing on the fact that Rauner can't beat Pat Quinn, and I firmly believe it's true. I don't care how, I don't care if Bruce Rauner is attached to Rahm Emanuel's hip. I don't care if they're Siamese twins. The Chicago machine is going to come out against Rauner with all guns blazing. Mike Madigan is not going to sit back and watch Rahm Emanuel gain more power. So this is Dan's big shot. This is his big chance. And I think that Bruce has opened the door, has overstepped his bounds, and here's a real opportunity to come back. You know, my boss, Jack Cunningham, the Kane County clerk, likes to say, when you're the front runner, every time you mention your opponent, you're giving them credence. You're by your mere focusing upon them, you make them more important.
Yeah.
So that's where I think Bruce
now,
made a misstep.
I'm doing some research on this here, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like there's, talking about Dan Rutherford and wondering, they bring it up, well, if this was extortion, why doesn't Dan file charges?
The legal system is a marvelous thing. How can politicians say these things about each other and not get sued?
Right.
There are vast exceptions in political campaigns. And in this case, it is not unusual for somebody who has a grievance to wait until the moment is right to say, look, we can go to court, or we can settle.
Yeah.
So it's not technically extortion. If for some reason they found that these claims were pure fiction, which, Dave, that would be virtually impossible to prove, then there could be repercussions. But, while you certainly can prove sexual harassment, if that is the case in this case, you can't prove you didn't do it.
Well, he said, the article I'm reading mentioned about some of the reporters sitting on stuff, kind of like, we can't bring this up. And I'm like, well, to me, it reads like there's something going on with that we're not hearing. Something that's there's a big tidbit here that is not being let out of the bag, and reporters are sitting on it, and with the inside, they're privy to the inside scoop, and they're not letting people know. And that tells me, what can they be possibly sitting on, unless it was something of close to the truth.
And that's where I think Dan's failing, because the appearance of impropriety is always worse than the impropriety, yep. David. It always is. And so I think what's happening is certainly the newspaper and reporters and columnists are actually being responsible. You can't go forward with an accusation based on, the whispers.
Yeah.
So even I've kind of heard what this is going on. But you can't as a columnist or a reporter kind of say, well, this is what they're likely to be.
Yeah.
Because if it turns out that's what it isn't, you're in deep trouble. The difference what I'm doing here is I'm saying this is what it's purported to be. there's a difference. So it were I Dan, yes, I would own it. I would take it. I would own it. I would, by own it, I mean take it away from Rauner and say, yeah, this is what this guy's going to do. He's been a great worker. I'm disappointed in this strategy. I think it's politically motivated. I think the voters are smart enough to decide for themselves.
But here's the thing, and I don't want to, you know, if this is true, if the allegations are true, you know, the allegations about, if it's about sexual harassment, it could be damning. I mean, it could be damning to the Rutherford campaign.
It could. And
because, but, you know, you might say, well, what is the difference is it, you know, but again, and that's first easy to say, we don't vote based on the sexuality of or the sexual harassment of politicians. I mean, Schwarzenegger was elected, and even with the harassment charges going on, you know, full throttle, he still got elected to California.
Yeah, and his were particularly egregious. Yes. I mean, you had people coming forward, and you, when you see videos of Arnold in his weightlifting days, oh my God, there is no doubt he did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the problem that Dan's got a real conundrum. Rutherford has a real conundrum here.
Yeah,
and in a way, I think Rauner believes he's come upon something where he can't lose, because if Dan does address it, he's got to essentially bring up the sexuality issue for him. He's essentially got to say, well, yeah, this is a guy that got sexually harassed, and then the innuendo comes forward. So that's probably why Dan's not saying anything, and I think it's a mistake. I really don't think, especially in the state of Illinois, that we care as much about your sexuality anymore. Well, and the second thing is
for a Democrat, yes. For a Republican, you know, that might be a little more difficult,
I think,
Jeff.
In general, I would say you're correct. But they were saying Mark Kirk was gay, and Mark Kirk won handily. Joe Walsh couldn't beat Tammy Duckworth.
With his husband, Bob. So. Yeah.
Couldn't.
Just kidding about
couldn't,
that, folks.
So I think that's – I think Rauner's kind of full of himself.
Yeah.
Thinks he's come up with the perfect attack here, but I do think it's going to backfire. If Dan can deflect this a bit better in the upcoming weeks. So I'm going to stand by my – if the longtime listeners of the show recall, whenever Dan, friend of the show, amongst many friends of the show, calls in, I refer to him as Governor Rutherford. And I still believe that can happen and will happen if he handles this thing as he needs to. Because, again, it's far too coincidental. It just shows – you have to have met Bruce Rauner to understand the level of arrogance and that he would think he could get away with doing it this way and nobody would check.
Yeah.
So, we'll have to see what happens.
By the way, if you're listening and you want to take phone calls on this, Jeff, I'm not sure if you did.
Absolutely.
If you have an opinion about the allegations and what's going on with or the governor's race, for that matter. Mm-hmm.
Any
give
of
a,
it.
Give us a call, 847-931-1410.
We are happy to hear from you, as always. So, I think Dan's got about another week to figure out how to not make this go away, but how to reframe it in a way that benefits him. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be kind of tough. But I think a guy like Dan, I'm surprised he hasn't done it already. So, and I think, again, for all you conservatives out there, I know right now the bandwagon is Bruce Rauner, but trust me, there is no way Bruce Rauner beats Pat Quinn. They will savage him, and there are far too many inconsistencies in his background for him to win. And his wealth is going to work against him, much like it has at times for Jim Oberweis. So it'll be fascinating to see what's happening. But it's funny, given this, these midterms, I'm surprised we haven't seen a little more of this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, again, the midterms are coming up the primary is coming up in March.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have about a month of, we got 4 weeks of.
March 18th,
March 18th, yeah, about 5 weeks, I guess. Mudslinging. It's going to get worse, I think.
It is. And I wish, if I had one wish about the situation, We need balance in this state. We need more Republicans. I know I'm the left side of this group, but whether it's North Carolina run only by Republicans or it's Illinois run virtually solely by Democrats, it doesn't work. And Kirk Dillard and Bill Brady are done. They're finished. Yeah. They're not going to win. I mean, they can't withdraw from the ballot. It's too late. That would have been January 15th. But I wish they would pull together behind Dan Rutherford, because we desperately need a Republican governor.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. But that's my take on that.
Well, again, we'll find out in the next, like I said, next, you know, we think the Christie campaign or the Christie, what's going on in New Jersey is getting, you know, mudslinging. Illinois politics is going to.
Well, and remember, that really isn't a campaign. He is in office. His attacks on David Wildstein, the Port Authority person that he put in there, if you can sit there and watch him, Chris Christie, say, I don't know where David was in high school. They were purportedly high school friends.
Yeah.
I don't know where David was in high school. I was class president and athlete. I don't know what he was doing. I mean, and not say that guy is one of the biggest bleeping bullies on the face of the earth, then I guess you're a better man than I am.
Yeah. But so. Definitely is putting his, making him smaller on the Republicans' shortlist of. I keep hearing Jeb Bush for Republican for
even I think
versus
that,
Hillary.
That would be difficult. I don't know. It's part of that's going to depend upon what happens with the. I firmly believe there's a civil war coming in the Republican Party. I mean, right now John Boehner does have some momentum, and he's managed to pull people in line to get budget deals passed. There's going to be a farm bill passed.
Yeah.
And Republicans are realizing that obstructionism is costing them in the long run, which I have been saying. But I still think, especially as the 2016 presidential race nears, it's going to be Ted Cruz is going to be one of them. And I think the battle is going to be so bloody that, once again, I still say we're going to be welcoming a second President Clinton in 2016.
President, Hillary. Well, I don't know. I think I heard a very interesting analysis that people are just like, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, they're looking for another name. Like, there can't be just two names to go by, whether it's a Bush or a Clinton. There can't be two names to.
There will be challengers, but I mean, Hillary, you're not going to be able to beat that kind of name recognition and legacy, yeah, for better or for worse. I mean, she's far from perfect, but the fact that she was first lady, the fact that she ran against Barack Obama the first go-around, the fact that she was Secretary of State, Benghazi notwithstanding, which I do believe conservatives have blown up into nothing, it is going to be incredibly difficult to run against her.
Now, we have coming up at after 3:30.
Yes, sir.
We have a very interesting topic, which has taken... It was based on from the Super Bowl.
That's right. And we will go in depth into this. I think Dina Sherman from the Beacon News will be calling in. I did a huge blog post on it huge, 600 words, on thefirstword.net. But last week, Tim Elins, former co-host, called in and said, Jeff, do you think when I said Democrats will retain the Senate, he said, Jeff, you don't think that conservatives can keep their mouths shut long enough? Or Republicans, I think he said.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't. And with the Super Bowl ran a commercial with multicultural people singing America the Beautiful in their native tongues, and conservatives had a fit. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Again, your calls are welcome at 847-931-1410, and we'll go to break.
All right, you're listening to Left, Right, and You on WRMN 1410. Be back right after this. Don't go away.
So last night I couldn't sleep. So I got my laptop going. And fortunately, when you're sitting in bed, it gets hot, doesn't have a good airflow. You know, even though it was a cool night, it's still uncomfortable.
Well, have I got the solution for you? I invented a product called the Lapinator. And you can go to www.lapinator.com. It is a laptop.
You might have to spell that.
Lapinator. I found out in French it means rabbit killer, but, you know, so much for brand name testing.
Yeah, you're not going to be very popular in France.
No, not in France. But basically what the Lapinator is, Ellen, it's a portable insulated laptop desk that not only keeps 95% of laptop heat off your lap, so I don't have to get the fire extinguisher out every time you use your laptop, But it keeps your laptop 11 degrees cooler with no moving parts. So, hey.
That's great. And heat does damage electronics.
We sell all our product through Amazon, so, you know, you can get shipping free. Go to www.lapinator.com, www.lapinator.com.
Hi, this is Alan Skillicorn. Here's a reminder that Odyssey Forge offers creative, custom, and unique internet solutions. Looking for more security or two-factor verification? Odyssey Forge has a solution for you. Do you want custom WordPress site? Odyssey Forge can customize the popular platform. What about secure e-commerce? Odyssey Forge will develop an attractive site easy to use for you and your customers. Check out www.odysseyforge.com or see my Odyssey Forge powered site, alanskillicorn.com.
What the heck is that music, Dave?
I believe that's One Direction, best song ever.
One Direction, best. Come on, go back to Styx, Come Sail Away.
I'm sorry, I tried to get Bruno Mars from the Super Bowl.
Hey! It's funny you mentioned Super Bowl.
Why? Why is that, Jeff?
Because there was a slew of commercials, some good, some not so good. Of course, I did not watch the Super Bowl because I'm fed up with the NFL on it for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the term Redskins. But there was one particular commercial. Again, I said this before the break. Tim Elins and I talked last week. He called into the show, former co-host.
You didn't like the Budweiser ad,
and he said, do you think conservatives / Republicans could keep their mouths shut long enough to win in November? And I said, absolutely not. And one of my favorite things in life is when people who find me somewhat subversive prove me right that quickly. So there was a Coca-Cola commercial where there was a variety of multicultural individuals singing America the Beautiful in their native tongues. And you would think somebody walked up to Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty numbskull, and, you know, shorn his beard off with a machete. The reaction was swift and severe. And to that end, we have Dina Sherman, one of my I'm the former columnist. She is, I don't even know how, what former fellow columnist? I'm the former one. She is still a columnist for the Aurora Beacon News, very well read, one of my favorite people on the planet.
Before we go to Dina, do we want to play the commercial?
How long is it?
About a minute.
Well, now let's go to Dina, because okay. I think the thank you, Dave, but I think the controversy has been enough. But Dina, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling in. I have to say my favorite part. Now, have you seen the commercial, Dina?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and of course, again, it's multicultural people singing America the Beautiful. And, when Rush Limbaugh had a massive seizure. The blogosphere lit up. My favorite thing was a commentator on Breitbart.com wailing about multiculturalism being rammed down people's throats. And I look at this and go, how does this help the conservative cause?
Oh, and it doesn't. And I think it's interesting when you were talking about Dan Rutherford, here you are, really a moderate. You're wishing
That's right.
the Republicans well. And I think you're right that there is probably a civil war coming in that party because they can't keep doing stupid and winning.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I mean, I grew up Republican, and I would go back to the party. If it were the party that I grew up with, I would probably go back there because I'm very moderate. But they can't keep doing these things that offend everyone.
And the silly thing is, and the irony is, the Republican, and at least conservatives, especially the Tea Partiers, it's become a culture of taking offense. It's almost mm-hmm. like a collective group of Jewish mothers, you know, who are just waiting for their sons to say the wrong thing. I know I may get hammered for that, but that's okay. But you, when we talked earlier this morning, David, you had a really fascinating observation that had to do with the author of America the Beautiful, and why don't you share it with our listeners?
Oh, well, I thought maybe you were already going to talk about that. I can go back to my Facebook post about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that the author of that was a lesbian who left the Republican Party.
Right, and back
over behavior.
And what's her name again, Dina? It escapes me.
Yeah, me too. That's why I'm going back to my own Facebook post.
It's trying to remember too many names. But yes, the author of America the Beautiful had back in the 20s mm-hmm. what they call a Boston marriage, which was code word for living with, you know, two women living together. She wrote various books of poetry.
Kathy Lee Bates.
That's mm-hmm. Kathy Lee Bates. Thank you.
Who later went on to get an Oscar for Misery.
Yeah.
So there you go.
just ignore Dave Dina.
Right.
But I do. Unless he makes a good point, then I don't ignore him. But yeah, Kathy Lee Bates, you know, lived with the woman for 20 years, wrote various books of poetry that were published, and one of the books was completely devoted to their relationship. So it's amazing how conservatives, the conservative capacity to put themselves in these positions of irony. And if you go to, if the listeners and the blog post has been fairly popular, it's entitled "I'd Like to Buy the World a Coke." What I try to point out in frank language, maybe not intended for younger audiences, so Dave, get your finger on the dump button, is that it's just a bleeping commercial.
Right.
You know, and when here's what happens in commercials. You have cats talking. You have babies trading stocks. You have husbands who are constantly clueless.
Horses making love to puppies.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah. And you have them, you know, those folks wishing all women to have a happy period always. If you do, so you've got to consider this. My mother always used to say, consider the source. So you're talking about a TV commercial in the Super Bowl that had a bunch of multicultural individuals singing America the Beautiful. If you don't like it, turn it off.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't understand who was forced to watch it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand the ramming down people's throat things. I mean, if there's something that I hear that I find offensive, I usually just turn it off, ignore
right.
it. It's why I know nothing about Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Every time something that I find stupid or offensive, I just walk away, turn it off. I don't want to spend my whole life being offended.
Maybe some
people do.
I think that's part of the problem. I do think too many conservatives, you know, the core conservative values are great. I believe in fiscal sanity. I believe in personal responsibility.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same here.
I believe in less government. The government can be overbearing at times. But it's amazing to me, and as I put in the blog post, it's fascinating to watch this group, which kind of shot, you know, 2009, came out of virtually nowhere. The Tea Party, you know, actually gained some traction and have had actually an interesting effect on local governments these days, which are being far more fiscally conservative. But their capacity to commit a collective slow suicide is baffling. And when you take on something like a TV commercial and make that your cause du jour, all it does is make you appear to have no perspective and no sense of humor.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I often say to church friends of mine is, I mean, we all have a church background, and I don't understand when you're going to fixate on issues of whom to exclude when there are always the issues there of children who don't have enough to eat or
mm-hmm.
who are being beaten and abused. Or what would Jesus be focusing on? I don't think it would be some of the issues that they're focusing on.
Right. Jesus would be hanging out with the people in those commercials.
Well, and Jesus would be singing in Aramaic.
Yeah.
So there we go.
This is true. And the other irony, too, is that I used to write this in my columns, and you, I'm sure, will recall it, that the truth is, if your name doesn't sound like Running Deer and you don't speak Navajo,
right.
you're probably an immigrant once removed at best, maybe twice.
Right.
I mean, we are a country of immigrants,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, so
it is a little
pretty disingenuous to me that we're
right.
going to bash on the more recent immigrants. That was something that, yeah, we had talked about earlier, too, that I was waiting in that commercial for somebody to start singing in a Native American language, because I thought that would have been perfectly appropriate.
That would have been interesting, absolutely. The other fascinating thing, Dina, I find in this is, don't tell me that Coke didn't know exactly what they were doing, the Coca-Cola company.
They want to stir up controversy.
That's right.
And people keep talking about Coca-Cola.
Like we're doing right now.
Exactly.
Unlike the GOP, you know, Coke doesn't simply look in the mirror like the Tea Partiers do, and the GOP does. Coke went out there, did its surveys, did its market research, and said, you know, this is where the country's going. And we can use this consistent, unabated conservative anger to our advantage. They knew exactly what was going to happen when they released this commercial. And they figured that whatever sales they lose from conservative white folks, they will more than make up for in the direction the country is going.
Of course, people on the other side of that spectrum are often health food nuts who wouldn't drink a Coke if you gave it to them
right.
for free. But
I gotta give Coke a
You
ton
said
of...
drink Coke, right? Just want to make
right,
sure that's
right.
All right.
We're not talking Dave,
Coke.
Dave.
Yes.
Put the straw down, Dave.
All right.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
Straw goes in your mouth.
All right, all right, all right.
But
sorry.
It is fascinating to me that, you know, Bill Maher loves to say, I will never underestimate, I'm always amazed at the capacity of the American people to vote against their own self-interest. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the Tea Partiers / conservatives have been led down the primrose path by, you know, a corporate entity that knew exactly what would happen. Mm-hmm. And they have provided the kind of free publicity that most companies can only dream of.
Well, going back to the whole, if you're offended, turn it off, I was stunned, really, when I saw all of the hoo-ha about this. Like, seriously? Because I looked at the commercial and went, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either way. And I just couldn't believe that people were going to spend actual time being angry and upset and arguing. It's like, really?
By the way, what are we talking about today? We're talking about Coke.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. It's that culture of taking offense.
Yep.
And there are real conservatives out there. Dan Rutherford, I believe, is one of them. There are real conservatives.
But you really like that guy, huh?
I love him. I think he would be a great governor. But I think that what's happening is until these real conservatives stand up, as the, I don't know if John Boehner is a real conservative, but he is starting to stand up to the Tea Party. They're not going to win elections. It's really going to be that simple. It's going to they're going to continue. You know, this Coke thing is just another nail in the conservative coffin.
Yep, absolutely.
I do have a point here. I want to ask both of you. One of the things that Rush Limbaugh brought up, one of the arguments was this was a ploy from the Republican leaders on immigration reform. What do you think it was or wasn't?
They're not that smart.
I don't think it had anything to do with Republican leaders.
I mean, that was Limbaugh's, Rush Limbaugh's.
Leave it to Rush. Apparently he's back
concern,
on the,
I guess.
Apparently he's back on the OxyContin.
Yeah, I don't really listen to a word he says because I think he's completely sold out. I don't even think he's crazy or evil. I think he's just all about money, and he'll say anything that will get him
his
name out there. Well, he's a lot like Coke that way.
But by the way, he's a humorist.
Yeah, Michael Steele, the former National Republican chairman, tried to say, you know, Rush is an entertainer, but they all had conniptions and they bow at his feet. But before we let you get back to your day, Dina, tell our listeners where they can find you and what you might be writing about this week and the upcoming weeks.
My column comes out every Friday in the Beacon News, usually on the Viewpoint page. This week I wrote about something that I didn't previously know anything about, the Keystone Pipeline.
Ah.
I thought, well, there's going to be some stuff coming up about that. I better find out what's going on. So I made some phone calls and sent some emails and tried to find out from TransCanada and from one of the oil companies that's going to be using the pipeline if we were going to be exporting oil or gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was very, very interesting conversation or two I had with them.
Excellent. So we can look forward to reading that this Friday, either if you buy a Beacon News or go online?
Or go online. Mm-hmm.
Well, Dina, thank you so much for joining us and waiting in on that fascinating topic.
Always fun to talk with you, Jeff.
I'm sure we'll have you back on the show. Thank you so much.
And have a Coke on us, by the way.
Again, don't listen to Dave.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
all right,
take care,
thanks,
Dina.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
847-931-1410. You're listening to Left, Right, and You with Alan Skillicorn and lovely and talented Jeff Ward.
That's right. That's right. I am lovely and talented.
I know.
And and in fact, Dave, I hope our plans for Valentine's Day are still okay. You know.
Yeah, unless you're hanging out with Dan Rutherford.
Yeah. So. Be careful. Be careful, Dave. I think, you know, here's the thing, and I know that Alan kind of hammers me for it, and some of his friends have said, oh, he goes after conservatives. I want to see the basic conservative values succeed. I want to see fiscal sanity in the state of Illinois. But as long as Republicans and conservatives are going to go nuts over a TV commercial, it is not going to happen.
You know, it's funny that you brought that up, and it was the Super Bowl commercial, what, 2 years ago, was it, when Tim Tebow had a commercial where about the it was for a political, it was for family life, was mm-hmm. it was a pro life commercial, and he was getting there was a lot of controversy because I guess from the networks, because they didn't want to take the commercial because it was a pro life commercial for I think Family Life Today, mm-hmm. and the Super Bowl, he was in one of my favorite commercials, which was the T-Mobile with Tim Tebow. If you did see it, like, he doesn't have
no,
a contract.
I did not watch the
no
Super
contract.
Bowl, so okay. But in any event, but that's a good point. And the other irony that I wanted to get in there is, back in the 70s, there was a very, I mean, I think it actually became a hit song, I Want to Buy the World a Coke, with cultural individuals singing. Yeah. Now, they were all singing in English, and they were singing the same song. But, you know, nobody, it's hard to believe where we are now compared to where we were in the 70s. But and let's move on, Dave, to the NATO 3 trial, which has been something near and dear to my heart, because I want to encourage conservatives to take up this cause. I want to encourage them to take a look at the details of this case and see that this is a far bigger threat than a commercial. And what I mean is, now, let's back up a little bit. The NATO 3 trial, we're talking about 320-something morons, is a better term, who were supposedly going to single-handedly take down the NATO conference in Chicago back in 2012. And they devoted 16 undercover officers to them, millions of dollars in security total. And the worst they could net is these three guys.
Yeah.
The trial, like I said, as we speak, they're probably done, the closing arguments. And when you see this is everything. Conservatives are against. It's everything Alan and I have agreed on when it comes to the NSA. We've got government overreach, massive government overreach. We've got an abuse of power. We've got entrapment. There's got to be a better word than entrapment in this case. And we've got Big Brother, 16 undercover police officers on three 20-some-year-old males.
Yeah.
And ostensibly, like I said, they were going to take down the NATO 3 conference. But what's amazing is it's the government's own tapes that are exposing this investigation for what it is. And even today when I was reading it, the one of the things these guys were going to do was take a slingshot and marbles and shoot holes in the campaign office of Barack Obama in the Prudential building. But they gave up that notion when they couldn't find the campaign address on Google. And today, the defense showed that all the prosecution could provide was a slingshot with no marbles. You've got, the big evidence was supposed to be these Molotov cocktails. And literally, the undercover officers had to drive him to the gas station, help them make the Molotov cocktails, and then were exceedingly frustrated when they couldn't get them to test one. They were supposedly going to attack four police stations, but dismissed that prospect because they didn't want to have to go through another Google search.
Yeah.
These guys are not. Oh, the other amazing thing is they.
So are you saying, here's what, on the NATO 3, do you think we shouldn't have put them on trial or what?
No, absolutely not.
We are wasting too much money.
The
whole NATO, to me, when you bring up NATO 3, I'm thinking of this big, the city did it, to get nice, make us more respect, make the city of Chicago more respected, and all it did
they
was
never
lose money.
You know what? You keep an eye on them, but when the undercover age female, first-time undercover agent infiltrated, most of them were trying to impress this female undercover agent. When they went in there, she should have immediately walked out and said, these guys are bleeping morons. They couldn't do a damn thing. Let's be sure they're okay. The other thing I wanted to mention is they built the 7-foot shield.
Yeah.
You know, that there was good, and they couldn't figure out how to get it downtown. It was made of plywood. They built it and never did anything with it. So, essentially, you clearly have these undercover officers on tape being incredibly pissed off that they couldn't get these guys to do anything. And finally, even though they could not get them to test even one Molotov cocktail, they had the three of them arrested that night as terrorists. You know, the amazing thing is the real terrorists are laughing their asses off at us.
Well, again, we make this, you're making light of the NATO three terrorists. But again, if this had turned into a Boston Marathon type bombing terrorist, you know, something more dangerous, we wouldn't be talking about this.
I'm not saying don't, you're right, absolutely not. I'm not saying don't pay attention to these guys. Yeah. I mean, it was worth looking into. But at some point, you got to realize that they, you know, they're just three guys with big mouths. You know, that they never did anything. And if it weren't for the officers that kind of joined their group, nothing would have happened. And this is the worst of our government. When, in order to justify millions of dollars in security, they almost had to nab somebody. You know, Police Chief McCarthy should be embarrassed that this is the best they could do. Yeah. The jurors have been laughing at the testimony. Because, of course, what the
were these potheads?
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
Okay.
I don't think pot is dangerous, but it doesn't do much for your motivation.
Yeah.
And they didn't do...
I don't know. I can't remember.
They didn't do a damn thing. You know, they couldn't get these kids to do anything. And then when they finally took them to the gas station to make Molotov cocktails and the other undercover officer cut up the cloth, you know, they finally arrested them. It is sad. And this
instead
is
instead of gasoline, they were so stupid they used Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So
but this is the kind of thing, and yet once again, I know some of you folks are tired of hearing me say this, but where's the conservative outrage? This is exactly the kind of thing that we need to fear. I'm happy to see it with the NSA, but this is even worse because this is them coming for regular people. And if all of us were convicted based, I mean, if we all look back to our 20s, I think every last one of us could be convicted on something stupid we did or thought or, you know, we're supposedly going to carry out that thankfully never came to fruition.
My question is so what is the likelihood they're going to be not convicted?
It's really hard to say because first the defense tried to get the terrorism charges dropped. These guys aren't terrorists and he's dead on, but the judge wouldn't go for that. So that's not a good sign. But the juries have shown an uncanny sense of things in the past. I think the defense attorney's play was, well, you know, okay, these kids were idiots. They shouldn't have even taken it this far. Maybe they should be some sort of much lower count, a lesser offense. And I think, quite frankly, the prosecutors would have been smart to go with that. But now it's all or nothing. Now it's these kids are going away for virtual life. Or they're going scot-free. It's one of the two. It's either or.
Yeah.
So I actually think there is a reasonable shot that one juror, that's all it's going to take,
it'll be a holdout, huh?
Is going to say there is no way these kids could have found their way out of a paper bag, much less blown it up.
Yeah.
And when our government starts going out, you know, the same thing with that group that was going to bomb the Sears Tower, that they couldn't bomb a Sears catalog a few years ago. When you go after the wrong people, yet you ignore reports of Arabic flight students not caring about taking off or landing.
Yeah.
It diminishes us all. And this is the kind of thing I think conservatives should take up for their cause. This is the kind of thing that can eventually come to bite them in the butt. They'll rant and rail about the IRS, but that's nothing. All the IRS did was do their best to keep them from becoming nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even need to go through the IRS to do it. In this case, you have real folks trying to not only quash liberties, but create the crime.
Yeah.
And I think on this, I'm about as, you know, the show's Left, Right, and You. I'm about as right as you can get on this. You cannot entrap people. You cannot, you should not. And any law enforcement officer out there listening to me knows it diminishes their cause in the long run.
I know the reason. Three words. Rahm Obama administration.
Well, we blame everything on Obama.
I'm doing it on Rahm also.
Yeah, well.
Who was connected to Obama.
Right.
Or was, you know.
You know, come on.
Close friends, closer than Rutherford.
Come on, guys. These kids would never have even made Molotov cocktails, done anything except play revolutionary if the police hadn't gotten involved. And that should be the baseline. The police cannot create the crime.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting in the next few days. I don't know how long the jury will be. Consider.
Was there some connection, Jeff, with the NATO 3 and for the Wall Street,
Occupy movement?
Occupy Wall Street.
Not that has been disclosed.
I thought there was something going on, a connection here, which, again, talking about between the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street, what a night and day, how much organization. Better organization.
Absolutely.
with Tea Party.
You know, Martin Luther King said something to the effect of, we need people who believe in peace to be as active as those who believe in war.
Yeah.
And I thought the Occupy movement was going somewhere. I praised them at the time, and wow, you know, it kind of petered out faster than, you know, a gay wedding at a...
I have an update. You talked about Jesse Ventura. Mm-hmm. I found this article from Politico. He's gone off the grid. Governor Ventura has gone off the grid. He's south of the border to prevent the U.S. spy drones discovering his whereabouts. So, makes sense because, I mean, he is kind of, you know, he has the conspiracy.
Well, I'm sure Jesse is
he's in an undisclosed location in Mexico.
In Mexico.
So, yeah, according to CNBC, he was talking to somebody on CNBC's Closing Bell, and he said, I can't give you away where I'm at. I'm off the grid.
Okay,
and he's got an online TV show,
I am convinced that, I'm sure Jesse is convinced that he is a high-profile target for surveillance. But, you know, Jesse, come back to reality.
Let's talk about, we've got Edward Snowden talking about that, you know, the U.S. is snooping on us, and it is playing into Jesse Ventura's theory that the U.S. government keeps tabs on American citizens. They do.
They do, although it's not normally specific.
Yeah.
You know, it's these days, it's kind of lazy surveillance. You know, let's just grab it all and see what we get. And the amazing thing is, usually the bad guys are so inept, the information comes right to you. They just don't take them up on it. The other thing that frosts my cookies, Dave, is along this in this ilk, is you've got this city in Wyoming, I cannot remember the name, that is making it legal to shoot down drones. Now, because they're talking about, you know, turning drones on our own populace.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing thing there is, and at the same time, you've got Amazon, which is threatening to deliver their products via drone. So I can't wait to see how this turns out, that... Hey, it's raining CDs for anybody left buying them. Hey, you know, my book just hit me in the head.
I'm sorry, I just got a text from one of the NATO 3. They thought that they were against shooting down scones.
Oh, okay.
So they were going to go to near Starbucks.
You know, and in fact, there was a company in Minnesota that was delivering beer to ice fishermen as if they aren't already drunk enough by drone until the FAA got in the game.
And I'm usually not as paranoid. Who said that? I'm usually not as paranoid as some people. But you know, when all of a sudden you get all this information coming out that, you know, Snowden's coming Snowden's got all this information about the NSA keeping tabs on us. You know, it does feed that maybe Jesse Ventura's not so crazy.
Well, no, yeah, there is a string of logic, but yes, Jesse is crazy. I mean. He was an effective governor, but he's nuts. You know, I think you know, wrestling just did something to him, and he thinks that's fake. But he's not going to make it. But anyway, as we wrap things up here, thanks to Nina Sherman for calling in. Again, we tackled Dan Rutherford, the Coca-Cola commercial, NATO 3. You can find a rerun of this show on my blog, thefirstward.net. You can find some funny columns on thefirstward.net, including the Coca-Cola one, Why the South Should Secede, and Why Would Anybody in Their Right Mind Go on a Cruise? And I want to thank everybody for listening.
All right. Have yourself a great
day. Thank you, Dave.
See you next week. Same time, same channel on WRMN 1410. Left, right, and you.
Wake up the right way with the WRMN Wake Up Call, weekday mornings from 6 to 8 on AM 1410, WRMN Elgin.
USA News, I'm Sean Scott.